for our sermon text from Psalm 90 and verse 12. We already read the whole psalm in the responsive reading, and so I want to draw your attention to just verse 12. You can find that on page 581. Hear God's word. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. You may be seated again. Now I ask that you pray with me. Father in heaven, thank you that you want us to call you our Father, our Abba Father, our Daddy, our Papa. And you say in your word, my son, my daughter, give me your heart. And so, Lord, we want to be obedient to your word. You want us to offer up to you a heart of wisdom. You're after our hearts. You want our lips and our lives to be obedient, but you want our hearts as well. You want our love and our adoration. And thank you, Lord, for displaying perfection before us in the life of Jesus, that he loved you, that he was completely obedient to you, and he offered up himself as a sacrifice pleasing to you, so that we, through him, can draw near and be received as your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, that we are accepted by you through Jesus the Beloved. And so, Lord, would you teach us now? Teach us to number our days. Teach us to have your priorities, and that your glory, and that your beauty, and that your great works would appear to us, that we would see these things, and that we would become like you. Thank you, Lord, for these blessings. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The sermon this morning title is The Bucket List for Glory Days. The Bucket List for Glory Days. And some of you may already have a bucket list. Some of you might not even know what a bucket list is. A bucket list is a list of things that you would like to do or see before you go to meet your maker, before you go back to the one who created you. And a bucket list is something that, I guess, shows you what's important to you. What are your priorities? Well, here we have Moses' bucket list, as it were, the priorities, the things that were important to Moses. We see in the title, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And so what was important to Moses, the prophet of God? And if we want to follow the Lord, if we love the Lord, these same kinds of things ought to be on our heart as to things of importance for us to do before we go back to be with the Lord. And our sermon text, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, really is a question of Will we use our time for the glory of God and for His blessing? And so, this morning, what I want to encourage us about, what is the main idea, is we must get our hearts right with God and present to Him a heart of wisdom. We must get our hearts right with God and present to Him a heart of wisdom. And to put it another way, we need to put God first. Amen? And so, on the bucket list, God is first. And more specifically, we need to make God our home, because He is the home of God's people. It says, Lord, You have been our dwelling place. You have been our place where we stay. You have been our home. Do you believe that regarding our God, that God is our home? Think about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you remember? They didn't have a steady place to call home. They lived in tents. They were nomadic. They moved around a lot. Anybody ever feel like a nomad? Like you're moving around a lot? We go through seasons like that. But Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many dwelling places. So if you think and you feel like there's not a place for you, in God, there is a place. In God, there is a home for you. Amen? So put God first. Moses puts God first. The first word of this psalm is Lord. Hebrew word Adonai, that word is only used for God. It means Lord, means Master. And even the second word in the psalm is Lord, You. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. And so we address the Lord and say, You have been our dwelling place. Make God your home. Make God your safe place. Is God your safe place? Is He your go-to in times of trouble? Your refuge and strength in times of trouble? Psalm 46:1 says, start with God. Amen? Put Him first on the list. Secondly, we need to fear God. We need to fear God. Verse 11 of Psalm 90 says, who understands or who knows the power of your anger? And your fury, that's a strong word, your fury according to the fear that is due thee. Our problem in this day and age is we don't understand the fear of God. If you don't believe me that we don't understand the fear of God, look at our entertainment and look at our newspapers and our magazines. You will see that we are a people who have no fear of God before our eyes. This is nothing new. This is the human condition. Romans 3:10 tells us this. Romans 3:10 through 18. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb, a place for dead man's bones. Their tongues have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Bottom line, verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's what it says in Romans 3, 18. But then what? Well, in verse 19 it says, we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under law, that every mouth may be closed and the whole world, all the world, may be accountable to God. That's what the law does. The law convicts us and says, you're sinners and you need mercy. There's no way you can save yourself. There's no way you can justify yourself. You need a Savior. That's what the law does. The law is that tutor to lead us to Christ. And so the law says, all have sinned. Everyone has sinned. And everyone falls short of the glory of God. And there's only one way. Only one. Thank God there's one. There's only one way we can be justified. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24 says, being justified as a gift. Thank God for his gift of justification by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus had to go to the cross to die for our sins, because there was no other way for us to be justified before a holy and wrathful God. And so it's so important that we fear God. Who understands the power of your anger? For your anger is as great as the fear that we should have for you. And so we need a reality check. We need to know the reality of our mortality. Do you know the reality of your mortality? We're all going to die one day. How many of you have a habit of taking a walk through a cemetery or a graveyard? Any of you have that as your habit? It's a good thing to do, because it's a good reminder. As Genesis 3:19 says, you are dust, and to the dust you shall return. And even in our passage this morning, it says, you turn men to destruction, you turn men to dust. We return to the dust. That's the reality. And so, dear friend, I need to proclaim to you that your days are numbered. Now, that's not a threat. It's just a sober reality. God knows the full number of our days. And so the question is, are we going to use those days in a way that's pleasing to God? Are we going to use those days for God's glory? And so I encourage you, as you think about those days, as you think about the time allotted to you, it's a finite number. 70 years, if God blesses you to live that long. 80, if by strength, it says in our psalm. And so Today I stand before you at the young age or the ripe old age of 59. And so according to this psalm, I guess I have on average maybe 11 years, or if by strength, 21 years to go. But I don't know, I could have 11 days or 21 days or even 11 minutes or 21 minutes. We don't know. Nobody's promised a full 24 hours. Any of us could die at any time. And so the question is, am I ready to meet my Maker? And the way to be ready is to trust in Jesus. Jesus the teacher. Yes. Jesus our Lord, and Jesus our Savior. And so, have you trusted in Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior? Have you despaired of your own ability to make yourself right with God? Can you offer up to God a perfect sacrifice? None of us can. But Jesus did. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He offered himself up as the perfect sacrifice for your sin and for mine. And so we need to trust in him as our sacrifice, as the one who makes us right with God. We must get our hearts right with God and present to God a heart of wisdom. And so, trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Call on the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, please save me. Thank you for dying on the cross to take away my sin. Now please come into my heart and life. Enable me to follow you. I promise you that if you cry out to him, he will save you, because God's word says, all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And so if you call on him in faith, believing that he will fulfill the promise, he will do it. Amen. But we also need to repent. Repent. What's that? Well, to repent means to stop going in the way of sin, to stop going against God's word. Sin is when we don't do what God says we ought to do, and when we do what God says we ought not to do. And so repentance is when we start to go and to continue to go in a Godward direction. I want to return. I want to turn and go in the direction of God, our Heavenly Father. Amen? Where do I get that from? Psalm 90? Well, it's in verse 13. Verse 13 says, do return or relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Relent, Lord. God relents when we repent. God relents when we repent. Jonah found that out in the book of Jonah. And then we see this language in Zechariah 1:3, also Malachi 3:7, God speaking through his prophets, rising early and again saying, return to me and I will return to you. And so, beloved, we must repent. We must turn away from our sin, even besetting sin, those things that tug on our heart. We need to drop it like it's hot, because it is. And we need to go to Jesus. Return to me, and I will return to you. Repent is the first word and the last word of the good news of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came preaching, he said, "Repent, turn away from your sin, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God has drawn near because the King has drawn near. The King is here. Return to me, and I will return to you. That is a promise of God. And so I urge you to turn from your sin and turn to God. And then lastly, we want to seek satisfaction in God's glory and God's work every day. Every day. Where does that come from? Verse 14. May this be our prayer on a daily basis. May this prayer be on our bucket list prayer. Oh, satisfy us. In other words, fill us up to satisfaction. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with thy mercy or with thy loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Every day, every day, beloved, give your heart something to stoke the flames of worship, love, and adoration toward God. Amen? Feed your faith every day. Amen? Some of you may have trouble with this, trouble making God's word and God's worship a daily thing. And I understand that. Been there, done that. And I struggle with it too. I'm human. But this is an area where we need to discipline ourselves. And discipline is not bad. Discipline is good. We all discipline ourselves for what we deem something to be important. In other words, if we want to lose a little weight, we go on a diet. Some of us have a little more success at that than others, but dieting is such a thing. Unless you make it a lifestyle, you can have the yo-yo thing going on there where you drop the weight and you gain it back because you haven't changed your habits. But we discipline ourselves to be able to make foul shots. Some of you can hit five or six in a row without missing. Any of you able to do that? I never was able to do that. That's why I'm a preacher and not a basketball player. But there are some preachers who actually can play basketball too. I just don't happen to be one of them. But I know about the game. But we discipline ourselves for what's important to us. And so, if you have trouble with this one, try this discipline. No physical food until the spiritual meal is eaten. In other words, I'm going to have my quiet time, time in the Word, time to worship God, time to enjoy Him, time to love His Word, and to pray, and to enjoy a hymn or a song or a favorite spiritual song. And then after that's done, then I'll have my breakfast. So then it kind of forces you to put God's word first. It forces you to say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, sure, we'll eat later. You know, the hunger pains, they work that way. And then you will eat later. So it's called delayed gratification. Amen? Seek satisfaction in God's glory and God's work every day. It says in verse 16, let your work appear to your servants and your majesty and your glory to their children. Excuse me. We want to see God's mighty works every day. What has God done in the world? God created everything out of nothing by one word of his power. Isn't that awesome? Those are the awesome works of God's creation. And even if you look at the human body, you're looking at a microcosm, a mini creation of God's amazing wisdom, power, and might, right in our own body. So there's God's creation, God's providence. You know, God holds everything together in the world, also by a word of his power. If God were to withdraw his power for a second, everything would fly apart. What holds together the atom? What holds together all those neutrons and protons? You know, protons are a positive charged particle, and positive things repel each other. But in the nucleus of an atom, those things hold together. Why? God's mighty power. And if he were to take that away for a second, we would cease to exist. And so it's in him that we live and move and have our being, our existence, God's mighty works of providence. What about God's mighty work of redemption? How costly is it to redeem a sinner and make them right before God? How expensive is that redemption? It cost precious, sinless blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem you and me. And so that's God's mighty work of redemption. And so the prayer is, Lord, open our eyes, open our spiritual eyes so that we can see the mighty, miraculous works of God. Who here needs to be redeemed from their sin? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm a witness. I need to be redeemed. And Jesus has redeemed us from the hand of an enemy too strong for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And so we want to see his mighty works on a daily basis, and we want our eyes to be open to his glory, and we want the eyes of our children and our children's children to see his glory. Verse 16, let your work appear to your servants and your majesty, your glory to their children. Oh, may our children also see the glory of God. That was one of Moses' dear prayers to his heart. You can read it in Exodus 33:18. Please, Lord God, show me your glory. What is God's glory? That's a good question. It's a hard word to translate. But part of it means that God is weighty. God is of supreme value. Nothing is more valuable than God. And so take all the gold, all the possessions, all the jewels, all the real estate, and put them on a scale, and then put God's glory on the other side, and all that stuff is like dust compared to the weightiness of the glory of God. Tips the scales easy. God is full of glory, full of splendor, full of majesty. And we pray that God opens our eyes and opens the eyes of our children to see the great glory of God and to be fully satisfied by the glory and the works of God. So how do we get that? Well, we need to seek His glory and His work early. Where does it say that? It says that in now I'm having trouble finding it. Verse 14, oh, satisfy us in the morning, or satisfy us early. How early are you willing to get up to see the glory and the works of God? Any of you ever get up early enough to see the sunrise? Amen. It's an awesome thing. It seems like before the sunrise, it's darker than it could ever be, but then all of a sudden, light. Let there be light. It's almost a reenactment of the first light in creation. Every day that happens. And we all can see it if we set our alarm early enough to do it. It's an awesome thing. And so we want to see in creation the glory of God. And we want to see God's glory and see God's work early. When we rise, we want to see Jesus in the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Amen. And then lastly, as we seek our satisfaction in God's glory and God's work on a daily basis, we will have joy. We will have joy. That's what God's word says, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Who wants gladness? Who wants joy? Who wants happiness? Anybody? Find them in God. Every day, every morning, cry out to God, give me Jesus. Amen? Amen? Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me His joy. Make us glad according to the days which Thou has afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. Has anyone known affliction? Has any of us known sorrow? Has anyone known trouble? Has anyone known long periods of those things? Guess what? Welcome to the human race. We all experience it. We all experience pain, sorrow, trouble. No one can say nobody knows the troubles I've seen. We all see them. They're just different. They're just different. We all have them. And we need to listen to one another. Don't get me wrong. We need to have a listening ear. And we need to sorrow with those who sorrow, and cry with those who cry, and rejoice with those who rejoice. One preacher put it this way: we have one eye of sorrow and one eye of joy. Because that's the human condition, human existence. We have both. But someday, God is going to wipe away every tear, every sorrow, every trouble, every sickness. Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." Amen? And so we look forward to when that blessed state happens. But in the meantime, we get a foretaste. We get a foretaste. And that foretaste is available to all of us on a daily basis. And so let's take up the Lord on that and seek satisfaction on a daily basis in His glory and in His works. And let's have great joy, because God is the source of all true happiness, joy, and blessing. Amen. If there's any good and perfect gift, guess what? It comes from your Father in heaven, the Father of lights, from whom is every good and perfect gift. And so go to Him. Go to the source. Put God first. Make Him your home. Fear Him. Repent. And learn to be satisfied in Him, in His glory and His work on a daily basis. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have so loved us and that You delight to draw us near to You. You say, "Return to Me, and I will return to You." Thank You for making a way for us to return to You through Your Son, Jesus. Give us grace to believe in Him as our Lord and our Savior, and come to Him for our satisfaction. Thank You, Lord, for Your good work that we can be satisfied in, and then Your glory. May Your glory be upon us. It's true that Your glory and Your goodness are contagious. And when we spend time with You, something of Your character, of Your glory and Your beauty, it rubs off on us. It changes us. We are transformed by Your glory, by the glory of the Lord, as we behold the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do this good work in us and fulfill these prayers, that Your favor, our Lord God, would be upon us, and that You would establish the work of Your hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.